Well, talking about 20 and 30 degree below wind chills and letting the appropriate folks know if there's somebody that you suspect is staying outside and doesn't have any other place to go brings us beautifully around to the topic of the St. Louis County annual homeless count. Deb Holman is the street outreach worker from CHUM, and she joins us this morning on the phone to talk about it a little bit. Hey, Deb, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
You know, one of the challenges that you've talked with us about in the past of doing this count is that it frequently comes at a time of year when the weather can be really kind of vicious, and a lot of people maybe do find some place to go or a friend that they can bunk with for just a couple of days.
Right. That is, I think, one of the problems with doing the point in time count in January. However, this seems like a winter where there's a lot more people out than usual. There's a lot of tents up around town, people sleeping in vehicles. So I'm not sure, you know, they haven't, we don't have a final tally on the point in time count yet. However, I'm expecting that it's going to be about the same as in past years or even a little higher.
Now, I know in particular also when we talk with Lifehouse, for example, that a lot of the homeless kids and homeless teens do have friends that they're staying with, and so they are harder to count. Does that seem to hold true with your experience?
Yes, and for this count, we do include doubled up to get a snapshot of, you know, who's doubling up out there, who's literally sleeping outside. So, you know, that the doubled up count is counts as well, if that makes sense.
Can you shoot us an estimate? I realize, as you say, the numbers aren't in yet, but if the numbers are similar to last year, could you shoot us an estimate how many people were homeless?
So I'm just looking at my list that I kind of, you know, keep a running list of who's out there. Just on my list, I have 160 people. So some of them were counted probably at the Community Connect event. Not all were specifically on the streets the night of January 26th, but I can tell you a good portion of them were. So I don't have the breakdown, but we also kind of look at who's in custody, who's in detox, just keep a running list. Even though they won't be eligible to be counted that day, we still know that they're homeless in our community.
Right. Now, one of the other things that we've talked about numerous times on the program is that anybody can become homeless. There are people that have a chronic mental illness that they struggle with, people with chronic addiction issues, but anybody can become homeless. And we start to realize sometimes that, you know, we're only a paycheck or two away, perhaps, from losing everything ourselves. Are you finding that the pool of people that you touch base with year after year who are homeless, that their situations are similar? Or are things, does it change sometimes?
Well, I mean, I think it remains true that the number one cause is poverty, followed by things like addiction, mental health, also loss of job. I think we're seeing more and more people that are elderly that are becoming homeless. I don't, you know the reason for that. Maybe lack of support system, another reason people probably become homeless. A medical situation that has maybe rendered them homeless. I think, too, that I know I have about four different folks on the list that are living in, you know, houses or, you know, apartment or houses without heat or water. So that, you know, they're considered homeless because they're living in a place not meant for human habitation. And, you know, I just wonder how many others are out there, like, living in that type of a situation that we're unaware of.
Deb, you and I have talked for a number of years about the annual homeless count. We've talked for years about the causes of poverty and the numbers of people that are homeless in our community. The homeless count has taken place for years. The numbers get turned into someplace. Have you seen anything change as a result of the homeless count? Can you point to something and say, you know, we did the homeless count and this happened to make things better?
Well, I know it brings funding in our community for different programs like the Shelter Plus Care, any HUD programs that we have in town. The point in time count like direct some money towards those programs, depending on the numbers that we're seeing. However, I think that we're, you know, we do have what's called the coordinated entry as well now, where everyone that's homeless is to call 211 and be directed to do a vulnerability index survey, which kind of determines, you know, people with higher vulnerabilities will go to the top of the list. But the problem remains that we don't have the units to fill these vacant, or to fill these, you know, everybody that's on the coordinated entry list. And I don't know that number. I know they were just trying to purge it down. It was at 800. So what they do is, that means 800 in our people in our community are either doubled up or homeless.
And they're on a list waiting for homes, but there are not enough homes, apartments, units available.
Yes, and I'm not quite, I mean, that number 800 is likely not accurate because, as I said, they were purging it down. So, you know, what that means is recontacting people on that coordinated entry list to see if they had housing now, or if they were still homeless. And that is also part of the point in time count this year, to contact everyone on that list. So it's becoming more and more work to do this survey.
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like there's an effort to try to gain additional information to maybe leverage that into doing something. But it seems as though all of the conversations, or many of the conversations that we've had about this issue on this program, keep coming back down to there are not enough places for people to live.
Right.
Duluth can't be the only community that's got this problem. I know that our housing stock is old and that it's expensive to build here, and we've got some weird things going on with the community that maybe makes it a little bit different from other communities, even in Minnesota. But how are other communities dealing with this issue?
I think there's the same lack of, you know, housing in a lot of communities in Minnesota and throughout the United States. I don't know the number of homeless in the United States, but, I mean, I know it's, you know, quite a few, like I think 800,000 on the streets in any given night. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that in Duluth we need housing. We need appropriate housing. Some of the folks that are on the street have barriers that would, you know, render them needing a place like the San Marcos, but some of them have been kicked out of San Marcos. So I think we need to look at a higher level of care. But, you know, any kind of housing is years down the road. And I do know that Center City is working on funding for a 50-unit building that will hopefully be here within the next 2 years.
Now, we did an interview a while back with the tiny house experiment. There was a tiny house that was built, and I think there were a couple of people perhaps now that have been able to cycle through that tiny house. Does that seem as though that's an idea that could gain a little bit of traction?
You know, I actually think it could. Where the empty house, or the tiny house, is empty again now, so looking for someone to put in there. It was just recently vacated because the person got, you know, permanent housing. So, yeah, I think that's an idea to look at. And also, if we're going to have so many people outside, we need something like safe spot camping so they're not scattered all over the place and we can find them instead of running all over town looking for them. So,
well, and that,
but, yeah,
of course,
we need housing.
That would eliminate, one would think that would perhaps help with the you know, people, landlords or people who, landowners, kicking folks off their land, saying, take off, get out of here. It could make people safer if they were kind of together in a group. But by the same token, you know, there was a gentleman who was interviewed on TV earlier this winter who elected not to go to the shelter because he was blind and he didn't feel that it was safe. And perhaps if you put everybody in one spot again, you run that risk also.
Yeah, I think people probably, some people are never going to do any of the above. So it's all complicated.
It really is.
Yeah.
No easy answers, Deb.
No.
Well, thanks for continuing to fight the good fight, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Lisa. Have a good day.
Deb Holman is the street outreach worker with CHUM, and St. Louis County recently conducted their annual count of homeless people, the point in time survey.